We turn our attention now to another of the post-resurrection appearances that Jesus made. We're going to get to it by a roundabout way. He appears on the Sea of Tiberias towards the end of John to Peter. But before we get there, I want to read a portion from Luke of where Peter actually denies Jesus. I'll be reading from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the 54th verse. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man was also with us, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Surely I am not." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And then Jesus appears to the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the 15th through 17th verses of the 21st chapter of John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever disappointed someone? Now, I'm not talking about being disappointed by someone, but disappointing someone. It's not a good feeling, disappointing someone, especially someone you love and respect, like your mother. When I was in about, the first or second grade, we were living in Charal, South Carolina at the time, and I was in Hageman's 5 and 10 cent store, and there was this little pack of cards. I think they were baseball cards, if I remember correctly, and I really wanted them. They were the kind that had about three or four cards in the pack, and there was a piece of gum in there as well, either a double bubble or bazooka gum, something like that. And I really wanted this pack of baseball of cards, but Mom said no. And I did the whole pleading thing. "Oh, come on, Mom, please, I want these cards. Come on, Mom, please, 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 please." You know the whole thing. "No, no, no." "Why not?" "Because I'm your mother." And Mom went ahead and got whatever it is that she came to Hageman's store to get. And to the life of me, to this day, I don't know how it happened. But when I got home, that pack of back cards was in my back pocket. I took them up to my room, carefully unwrapped the cards, pretty devious, I suppose, looked at them briefly, and then mixed them up with the rest of the cards so that wouldn't be able to tell that they were not already there. I put the piece of gum in my mouth and went back downstairs. A few minutes later, a bubble gum bubble came out of my mouth, which my mother saw, and she said, "Ricky, where did you get that gum?" We weren't allowed to have gum very often back then. "Son, where did you get that gum?" Of course, my lip kind of started shaking. "Did you take that gum from Hageman's?" And of course, with that, I burst out crying. And then it came, the look. You know, the look that pierces you to the core of your being. The look that lets you know how disappointed someone is. Of course, I was punished pretty severely, if memory serves me correctly. Since the cards were opened already and the gum chewed, I couldn't take them back, but I did have to go back and apologize to Mr. Hageman, which was horrible in and of itself. Talk about disappointing someone. Of course, had to pay for the pack out of my allowance. And the sting of the punishment administered to me by my father hurt for a while, but the sting of disappointment from my mom and from Mr. Hageman, all encapsulated in that look, has lasted a lifetime. The Apostle Peter knew what it was like to disappoint someone. Peter is undoubtedly one of the most beloved and likable characters in the New Testament, impetuous, something of a hothead, so wanting to please, so wanting to be faithful, kind of like that golden retriever, so wanting to make his master or her master happy. It's hard not to find him a sympathetic character. But Peter fails. He disappoints. You know, if someone had asked me before I stole that pack of cards that, would you ever steal something from a store? I would have said, there's absolutely no way. But when it came down to it, there it was. There I was. And for Peter, just to recall a little bit, it was the night of Jesus' arrest, and Jesus has shared with them the meal we celebrate today as the Lord's Supper. And before Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he is giving his disciples some final words about discipleship. Jesus tells Peter that he has prayed for him, that his faith may not fail. And Peter, in his endearing way, responds, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus predicts, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times that you even know me. Peter, of course, is incredulous. I will never deny you. I would never steal baseball cards. Then Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prays that this cup might pass from him. He awakens the sleeping disciples just in time for them to witness his arrest. And that's where our passage picks up, with Peter indeed denying that he even knows Jesus three times. And then there's that verse recorded only in Luke. All four of the Gospels record Peter's denial, but it is only in Luke that following Peter's denial, the words read, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter then goes out and weeps. If you had to hazard a guess, what kind of look from Jesus do you think Peter experienced? Was it a look of mockery? Didn't I tell you so? I told you would fail. Was it a look of ridicule? You weakling? You couldn't even stay awake. Why would I think you would stand up for me? Was it a look of warning, the other kind of look I used to get from my mother when I was misbehaving in church, that a change had better be a coming? I've seen a few of you out there give that look to your child in worship. Was it a look of anger, a look of disappointment, a look of sadness, a look of pain? What kind of look from Peter, from Jesus, do you think Peter experienced? Peter, in denying his relationship with Christ, exhibits all the weaknesses which plague the human condition: fear, self-preservation at all costs, lack of faith and trust. And for his fear in the face of trial, wherein he denied even knowing the one he admired and loved, in order to save his own skin, Peter receives from Jesus a look which leaves him so overcome with emotion, so upset in disappointing Jesus, that he goes out and weeps. Have you ever disappointed someone? I'm not talking about being disappointed by someone, but disappointing someone. It's not a good feeling disappointing someone, is it? Especially someone you love and respect, like Jesus. There's a wonderful scene at the end of the Gospel of John, we just read part of it, where Peter and several of his disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. All night they fish and they catch nothing. And early the next morning, just after daybreak, Jesus appears on the shore, but they don't recognize who it is. Their boat is about 100 yards offshore, and Jesus yells at them, asking if they've had any luck. When he finds they have caught nothing, he instructs them to lower their nets on the other side of the boat, and they catch so many they can't even haul them aboard. They then recognize the stranger is Jesus, and impetuous Peter, so eager to please, just like that retriever, jumps off the boat and swims ashore. And then Jesus asks Peter a question. Actually, he asks Peter the same question three times, one for each of the times that Peter denied him. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus issues that same invitation that he issued to him at the very beginning of his ministry, follow me. Follow me. And Jesus does follow Jesus. Restored to a whole relationship with the one he previously denied, Peter tends Jesus' flock and through the power of the Holy Spirit becomes a bold and courageous preacher and one of the most important leaders of the early church. His time of disappointing his Lord are behind him. He learns what it truly means to stand up for Jesus, to stand up for something he believes in regardless of the cost. There's a world of pathos between I don't know the man and Lord, you know that I love you. We all disappoint someone at some point in our lives. That's the reality of being human. Yet in spite of our imperfection, our human weakness, our mistakes in judgment, our lukewarm commitment, our failure under pressure, Christ continues to come to us, continues to provide the opportunity for us to respond. Such is the promise, the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Christ continues to look at us, not with a look of judgment or condemnation, but with a look which asks, do you love me? And each time we have the opportunity to respond, and each time may our response be, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And may our response be one which comes not simply from our lips, but may our lives express the truth our lips profess. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that you come to us, that you love us, that you challenge us, that despite our past, despite what we may have done of which we are not proud, you forgive us, you love us, and welcome us with forgiving arms through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is number 473 in your hymnals. We will remain seated as we sing. The congregation will be invited to join in the refrain, and the choir will sing the verses.